Ben the man, Philan Parsons, in with us now for conversation number two here this morning on our already Monday morning sunrise show. Welcome back to the show, Ben.
Hey, good morning, Jeff.
Boy, I feel like the king of the world right now, I'll be honest with you. My friend Ron just brought me in some cow tongue. That's going to be hitting the grill tomorrow. I'm just going to keep that out and thaw that thing out. And he also brought me some bear sticks, so you and I will sample some of those, because I know this from I get my beef sticks at the same place. I know that you can take them out of the freezer. 20 minutes later, you can eat them.
Yeah.
So we'll be sampling some of those. We've been talking a lot of turkey. We've been talking a lot of real estate here lately with you, Ben. You've been out there chasing turkeys around. You filled a couple tags. So how fresh is this turkey you're letting me sample here this morning right out of the slow cooker?
Oh, gosh, that was the tag one.
Okay.
So we put everything in the freezer, but I stuck it in the crock pot last night with some vinegar, water, a little bit of seasoning, and let that simmer in there all night. And this morning pulled it out and slipped it off of the bones and tendons and mixed some of Trigg seasoning in there with it, and there you go.
It's delicious. Being Cinco de Mayo, that would be taste very good, just warmed up real quick on the top of the skillet and put into a nice authentic tortilla, some cilantro, maybe some onions chopped on there. I had wild turkey once. I had a taste of it that was deep fried, and I thought, yeah, this is pretty good. I prefer it this way, and it's not often I would say I prefer something over deep frying it. The way you did it out of the slow cooker there and those seasonings, that is magnificent meat.
Yeah, and this, none of this is breast meat. This is all leg, thigh, wing, and
I just add an oyster.
Yep, the oyster on there on the back strap there.
Boy, that is some good stuff.
Usually this is the stuff that people throw away. I talk to so many people that harvest their bird, they breast the bird and throw the rest of it away, and it's just, you know, you're missing out on probably 8-9 pounds of more just delicious meat as long as it's prepared correctly.
It's a shame and a sin. That bird gave its life. My gosh, use the meat.
I use as much as I can.
Wow. Boy, that is just that's fantastic. So yeah, you combine chasing turkey and real estate this time of year.
I do.
Just curious, you're sitting out on the stand, you're sitting there, you track down a bird, and you finally get a chance to take a shot, and the phone rings. Somebody wants to see a listing.
Well, that is why I keep my phone on silent.
Okay.
And of course, the phone goes off all the time. I changed my greeting, but my greeting used to say, you know, I'm either on the line or with a customer, and, you know, leave a message or send me a text. And so I don't have the phone on vibrate or and then when I'm out in the woods, it's on silent, but I do check it regularly. I'm often in the woods, you know, texting. As long as a bird's not coming in or a bird's not presenting a shot, usually I'm on there texting or replying to emails out there on my phone. And so it's the work never stops, but the good news is I'm not punching a time clock.
Yeah.
So I can work from wherever I'm at, even if it's at the base of the tree.
What do you say to folks, though, that's saying you're not giving 100% to the hunting or the real estate when you're doing it that way, Ben?
Well, my reply to that would be I don't know anybody that's still replying to texts and emails and doing paperwork at 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Good point.
So, you know, it's one of those things where, again, it's not 9 to 5. We don't punch a time clock, but we're on call 24/7.
Well, you know what? I think most people would be willing to just wait a little while to get off the stand. Most things can be handled, and, you know, very few things nowadays have to be done, like, immediately. This market isn't the way it was just a couple years ago, where it may have been an immediate kind of thing, but that's not the case anymore in this current market.
No, it's not. And actually, the property that we talked about this morning, I do have to apologize. I misspoke and said that the house on Sanctuary Road off of 86 there was 645. It's actually 640.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we are looking down the barrel of another price adjustment probably here middle of next week, end of next week. And so if folks want to get a jump on that one before that extra price break, then this weekend or as soon as possible would be the time to go see it.
I can just imagine how nice that house is, because that particular builder just got done doing some work for me. And I'll tell you what, we are so ecstatic with the way our bathroom turned out. I can just imagine if he puts that kind of care and attention into a customer's home, I can just imagine what it's like in his own home.
Yeah, it's everything in it is solid, great colors, great condition. It was very, very well built. This is not something that they just slapped out, you know, as soon as they could either. You know, they bought this property actually long before they built the house. And one of the garages, which is heated, it has a heat source, is insulated, they would come up north and stay in that in that garage as a cabin.
Yep.
So they took their time building this home. So when you want to talk, if somebody wants a quality home, this thing was overbuilt. I mean, it was just, it's a wonderful home, great floor plan, a great location. You just can't beat it.
Attention to detail.
Every little corner.
You know, and a lot of people start out that way. I know when we built our place, we stayed in the basement and what's now the garage also while before the upper parts were all done. So a lot of folks do it that way. So why not? Why not? Yeah. Whatever works, right? One of the things I was going to ask you about with when it comes to properties, I was actually thinking about you during the draft, and I was thinking about all my real estate friends, and I'm thinking, okay, Mel Kiper is sitting on this draft thing. The best available player is, you know, and that list is up there during the whole weekend of the draft, the best available player. I'm wondering, do real estates have a list of listings, and what's the best one available? Do you guys rank them that way? How does that work in the real estate department?
You know, different strokes for different folks. And what may rank as a number one property for this buyer may not be of interest at all to another buyer.
Just like football players.
Right. So we just have everything out there, feature all the best qualities, the prices. When we're working with buyers, you know, we break things down per square foot, whether it's per square foot of the home or per acre or even per square foot of the land, and show the value. Show the investment potential. And even if a buyer is not looking for an investment property like a rental, every home, every real estate transaction is an investment. As long as you play your cards right, you keep it long enough, make the necessary improvements and maintenance down the line. The whole purpose of investing in real estate is that in the future, you're getting your money back if you decide to sell it.
And if you want a quick turnaround on your money, that's where flipping comes in, I would assume. If you want a quick turnaround, otherwise it's going to take a while. Live there a while, improve it every year, and before you know it, oh my gosh, look at all this equity I have.
Yeah, a good rule of thumb is you want to own something for at least 5 years.
Okay.
10 is just about a sure bet. If you own something for 10 years, you're making a profit off of that, you know, marketed properly. Now, we saw back during the white hot market of, you know, 21, 22, we did see some folks buy something 6 months later, sell it, and make $100,000 or more. And all they did was slap on some paint and some new flooring, you know. But that was an unprecedented market, you know. As anyone listening knows, that my first career is forestry. I was in that for over 20 years, got into real estate. And when I talk to the real estate professionals that started in this business, you know, 30, 35, even 40 years ago, some of them, they say in their career, they never saw a market like that. And what we're seeing now is more of a normal market. Mm-hmm. People want to complain about the rates. They want to complain about the prices. But when you look at supply and demand and what things are going for and what people make, this is actually pretty normal.
Have you seen a lot of things, stuff that were through the big rush or through that big, like the period we were in a couple of years ago? Any houses that are still on the market after that? What are you telling? Is there much left even, or is that stuff all gone? We're starting with a whole new crop of stuff here. Where are we at that way?
Oh, gosh. I don't know of anything that has sat on the market that long. Sometimes if a property is priced way too high, the seller either isn't motivated and they don't care. They either want to, you know, really cash in for somebody that has... That's not really a savvy buyer, and
right.
I don't know any buyers these days that aren't
right.
savvy. So if that's not going to happen, then those properties were pulled off the market. They're not on the market right now.
Now, you don't even know what it's like to work in a real estate market where all these tools that buyers have before they even talk to a guy like you that were never available before that are available right now. So I'm thinking that might be a double-edged sword for realtors. You're getting more clients that are coming to the table with some education. They know what to expect. They can follow things online and such. Maybe some of the older folks might not necessarily be as savvy with all the tech stuff. How is that on doing your job day-to-day?
You know, and I'm glad that I wasn't in this business, you know, 20, 30 years ago, because you're right. There's a lot of tools out there. It it helps us. An educated buyer is a good buyer. Even if a buyer does the education before they come to us, that's really best case scenario, because then we just kind of fine tune and tweak some of the misinformation out to help them pull the trigger on what they're looking for. But a big part when we're working with buyers, a big part of what we do is educating the buyers as far as market conditions, tools to look for. So education is a huge part of what we do. And on the flip side, on the selling side, it's the same thing. I mean, we do have to walk sellers through market trends, what they can do, what they should do, what they shouldn't do as far as helping us market their property in the best light possible.
I got a lot of other loose ends here based on some of our conversations in the recent past. This morning you were talking about a listing that you're waiting to get on. They were doing this, and then they decided now we're going to put it on the market. I'm curious, how do you counsel people that have that list saying, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this, then we'll put it on the market? Now, when it came, you talked about carpeting in this one particular place. I'm thinking, why are they holding it up just for carpeting, and why are they doing carpeting?
Yeah.
It seems to me like that's something that if you haven't sold a house in a while and you think you need to replace your carpet, chances are that stuff's going to come right out as soon as things as soon as it's bought. That's just not a real trend right now. People are looking for other things, yeah, especially when it comes to flooring. So holding up a listing for something like that, just curious, and not to be too specific or anything like that, how do you counsel people when they're saying, okay, I want to do all this stuff first, then we'll talk about listing?
A lot of these things were actually my recommendation. So when we ran through a market analysis, so to hone in on a listing number for this one, this home, beautiful home, beautiful location, highly desirable location here in the Northwoods. And they purchased this home, lived in it, loved in it, but jobs took them elsewhere. They didn't want to let the home go.
Okay.
And they decided, we're gonna rent this home.
Okay.
And the tenant didn't really take the best care of it. As far as cleanliness goes, I mean, structurally, it's great. It's just as good as the day they built it. But as far as lawn maintenance, gutter maintenance, you know, cleanliness, looks like maybe they had some pets and kids that loved paint, or maybe the pets loved paint. Then some of the carpet really got trashed. So when we talked listing numbers, we were at the point where if you want to just get out of it, sell it ASAP, you're going to take about a $100,000 hit.
Yeah, that's not good.
So when you look at, we can afford to put in some carpet and put up some neutral paint just to make it, you know, that showing, you don't want to start a showing with a black eye.
Right.
So even though it may not be the colors that the next owner would have chosen, it's still, when you walk in, it feels fresh, it looks clean, it looks well taken care of, which it was until the couple years that they had a tenant in there.
So a couple things to unpack there. So first of all, you got to be careful not to use your own taste and transfer those over. You just got to do the best thing to make that property look as good as it can look to the first impressions mean a lot.
Yep, and keeping it neutral.
Yeah.
You know, that really helps, because in a neutral color, if someone wants to get wild with their own personal touch, it's not that much to cover up.
So for some folks, this is one of those situations where, especially in real estate, a lot of things in life, I always get worried when there are blanket generalizations and policies for anything, because there's always going to be that one thing that comes up that goes against that rule. Yeah. And so this sounds like it's a case-by-case thing. Some houses you might not want to put that kind of money into. Right. Some you actually have to get the price you want.
Right. You know, when you're looking at a price gap like this one, you know, you're looking at a $100,000 difference between an as-is sale and one that's more presentable. So you could put 50 grand into a place. Well, you're still cashing in an extra 50 grand on the sale price.
Got it. So as far as the current market right now, we're now definitely into spring. Summer is coming up. There's going to be more and more people coming with every passing week here. What are you? What's the message to people that are still on the fence, wondering, do I list right now? Do I wait this out? What's the best advice to give folks right now?
So it's still a seller's market. Buyers have a little bit more traction than they did a couple of years ago. But when you look at supply and demand, there's a lot more buyers out there than there are homes in the inventory on the market. So it's still a seller's market. Buyers can get creative when it comes to writing their offers. Maybe they give a better bid, but ask for some concessions back, or maybe ask a seller to pay down points rather than negotiate off the price. There's a thousand different ways and combination of ways to bring a deal together. And that's why we always recommend using a professional realtor that has dealt with these scenarios, because it's not like going and buying a pack of bubble gum. Here's the price, give me your $125,
right,
and you walk away. This is a huge purchase, and in some cases, most people do it once, twice, maybe three times in their life. So knowing all the scenarios of, oh, well, we could do this or we could do that, you know, knowing all the different combinations of things to do to bring that deal together, they just don't know. Hmm. And you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
That's why you rely on a professional that has seen all these situations and has been trained to handle these transactions.
And people should also be lucky that if they're in the market right now, that some of us that were in the market a couple of years ago even, the circumstances are different. People have to use a different form of judgment going forward in the market we're in now, as opposed to the reason I bring that up, our first spring in the new house. When we saw the house, we knew the location was perfect. The house was not perfect. The yard was definitely not perfect. But those are things that can be worked on. The location was fine. So we're going to say, this is going to be our piece of property. We'll deal with the rest. Ben, I got to say, I feel better today than I felt in the last 3 weeks, because I spent the entire weekend working and sweating and getting muddy in my yard, in my perfect location, planting trees and planting shrubs. I feel so much better just looking out at the yard now. I can't wait to get on the mower for the first time this spring. So many good things went along with this purchase for us. Don't let a great opportunity like the perfect location, don't blow that just because the house may need a little tweak here and there in the yard. Don't blow it, because it's fantastic when you find it.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that a lot of buyers today miss. Everybody's looking for a good deal. Of course, we're all looking for a good deal.
Sure.
But when you look at the lack of competition versus a couple of years ago, buyers actually have a golden opportunity. Sure, maybe your money doesn't go as far with today's rates as what they would have a couple of years ago, but you also don't have the competition that you had a couple of years ago. There is a little more on the market that's sitting on the market. That gives you the opportunity to negotiate a good deal that works for everyone. And the thing about the rates, if a buyer is on the fence right now because of rates, look at your finances. You can either afford it or you can't.
Right.
And if you can afford it comfortably, maybe you have to step back a little bit on your want list. Maybe you need to put in a little bit more sweat equity, because, you know, you got to put more money down, or your payment's going to be a little higher than what you'd expected. But you're not going to advance financially investing in real estate if you don't jump in.
Yeah.
So you have to jump in. You have to get something to start building your way up. And as you know, and I know after, you know, being on our third, fourth houses, is that you own it, you improve it, you make it yours. And then when life changes and it's time to cash that investment in, you want to walk away with a profit that you roll into the next one. Then you can afford the bigger, nicer, maybe on water or more acreage.
And it is possible to do it your way, the way you like, and still it'll be appealing to somebody else down the road. Almost every decision that we make in the house, we're thinking, okay, what is it going to be like 10 years from now when we're looking to possibly sell it? Is this going to be an attractive property then? Make those decisions accordingly.
Yeah, quality work and cleanliness and organization go a long way. You know, people can overlook purple or pink or black paint when things are clean and well done, knowing that, yeah, I'm going to have to spend a few hundred bucks on some paint to make it my colors, but at least I'm not doing anything big structural.
One last turkey question before we move on to sampling some bear sticks here. When I was out on the deck, my deck and my porch at my new house are like medicine to me, especially this time of year. Sitting out there in the evening is just, it's like medicine. I heard something new the last couple of nights. I didn't know that turkeys gobbled after dark. And I was thinking of Ben. I'm thinking, boy, I know they ain't hunting at this time of day, that's for sure. But what's with all the turkey racket even this time of night? I've never heard that before. What's up?
Yeah. So turkeys are extremely vocal when they're on the roost. no matter what. A pressured bird will still gobble on the roost, usually before they fly down to start their day, or when they fly up, they're announcing their presence, where they are, to any hen that's ready to breed.
Huh.
So, and when there's a lot of hens that are looking for their nest, they've been bred, they're looking for a spot for their nest, there's just a few more out there, and then the search, you know, where are you at, where are you at? When a gobbler flies up on the roost, gobbles, he fires off, he announces his presence, his location to any remaining available ladies. If they are vocal back and they yelp back, here I am, come see me in the morning.
Huh.
They have that conversation, kind of like you ever worked out of town away from your spouse.
Sure.
Hear it, and at night, you know, you get on the cell phone, you got to make that good night, love you call, things like that. That's what they're doing.
Huh.
And had a time last year, had a gobbler that eluded me all season. I'm probably going to go back this season and try to tag him if he made it through the winter. But I remember after the fourth night of chasing this dude, I was sitting at the bottom of the tree. How he got by me and got up in his roost tree without me noticing, seeing, hearing, I have no idea. But he fired off on the roost at getting toward the end of shooting light. So I didn't, and he was close. Didn't want to spook him, so I waited until it got dark enough for me to slip out undetected. Thought about sleeping at the bottom of the tree, so I was there in the morning without making noise coming in. But, gosh, that guy, I don't know how he did it, but he still gobbled probably until about 9:30 that night. An uncle of mine has trail cam pictures of a tom walking by at 10:15 at night. So this is mating season, and when those toms are at peak mating season, just like any other species, we do pretty dumb stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to leave that right there. So when you hear those gobbling turkeys late at night, some hen's going to wake up in a family way the next day.
Yeah, yep.
Got it. Ben, how can people get a hold of you if they want to talk turkey hunting or real estate?
The best way is a call or text to 715-550-5683 or shoot an email to benthemanforland@gmail.com.
How about some bear sticks?
Sounds good to me. I'm ready.
Thank you very much. Ben the Man for Land Parsons from RE/MAX Property Pros with our Monday morning conversation.